Thank you, Pastor Heath. Good evening. This is a scary thing. It's been over a month since I last preached a sermon. And I just leaned over to Pastor Heath. I said, so usually I'm at what, 8, 9 o'clock? Something like that. And it's a whole month built up and ready to go tonight. So I hope you are ready to listen. I hopefully we'll be short, but we'll see. I make no promises. But I wanted to start by just saying thank you for the invitation to even come and join your church family. Michelle and I are humbled by that. We really are. And you've got a lot of good things happening here. God is working, and you've got a great pastor, by the way. This is a great time to say amen. Yes. Great pastor. And Pastor Heath and I have been friends for several years now, and he's got a heart for God and a heart for people, and God has gifted him. And so I'm gonna enjoy working together and being on a team and just working under him. He's still the boss, and I'm here to serve. But I believe God wants to use this church. I really do. I believe God has good things in store. But thank you for inviting us here. Thank you. I mentioned this morning, but thank you to everybody who helped us move and unload a truck. I can't repay you, but I appreciate it for welcoming us today. The meal today was wonderful, and then this pounding, it sounded kind of painful at first, and then I realized, it's food and things. That's good. Okay. Thank you for that. You're very gracious. And then I did want to say as well, thank you to everybody who prayed for our youth camp. Many of you are aware, we unloaded a truck, and then I had to go back to Ohio and lead a youth camp in Ohio, the Heartland Bible Methodist Youth Camp. And so thank you, everybody who prayed for us. I had several of you come to me and ask me about it, and I just deeply appreciate your prayers. I felt really, what's the opposite of ready? Not ready for youth camp. But God in his grace and his mercy helped us. We had 245 campers, and Reverend Rodney Loper spoke, and the altar was lined every night with kids seeking God. So to me, it's a win. And all the other things, I even tell our staff at youth camp, all the games and the sports and the activities, it's all a means to an end. It's to get them in an atmosphere where hopefully they will hear the voice of God who is speaking. And I felt like we accomplished that, but thank God. It's all that's all because of him. But I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to talk to you tonight about vision and God's vision in particular. If you want to turn to Proverbs 29, verse 18, this is kind of the standard scripture that we look to whenever you talk about vision. And I know there's different takes on what the KJV uses the word vision here, and different takes on what all that means. But in the King James Version, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Someone paraphrased this. Eugene Peterson paraphrased this verse to say, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed." So if you can't see what God is doing, you stumble all over yourself. But when you attend to what God reveals to us, you're blessed. You're happy. All right? So I want to talk tonight about some things that I believe God has revealed to us, his vision and his plan for the church. And I talked to Pastor Heath about this a little bit, and as he asked me if think you could preach that first night that you're here, and I'm just bouncing some things off of him, and I was like, hey, I've got this in mind, but I don't want to step on your toes at all. I mean, you're the visionary, and you're the guy who sets direction for the church. But I started to tell him some of what was in my thoughts, and he's like, man, go for it, because I don't think this is just the vision for Faith Community Chapel only. This is God's vision for the universal church. This is his vision for what every church ought to be, and so I want to talk along those lines tonight. So First thing, let me just give you a couple nuggets here, and I might be rusty tonight. Forgive me if I'm rusty. It's been a while, so but some things I want to share with you. First thing would be this. I want you to know it is God's will for our church to grow. It is God's will for my church to grow. And when we talk about my church, by the way, we're not talking about, you know, that we have my church in the sense that I have ownership over this church. None of us have ownership of, this is God's church, all right? Jesus, he is the head of the church. He's the King of Kings. He's the head of the church. This is his church, amen? And so we don't have ownership in that sense. So this isn't, Pastor Heath doesn't own the church. I don't own the church. Board members don't own the, you know, you could go down the line of everybody. This is God's church. But this is my church in the sense that I have belonging here. You belong here. And I hope, man, if you're struggling with the belonging part, man, we just need to get together. God, you're a part of this, and you belong. And so you say, this is my church in the sense that this is what I belong to. And it's God's will for our church to grow. Now, Acts 16:5, it says this, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Did you know that numbers matter? Anybody here like numbers? You like statistics? I do too. In fact, I was so impressed last night. I came into my office over here last night in the evening, and I found this little thing slipped under my door, all the stats from Family Fun Day. And Pastor Jeff, somehow, I don't have any idea how he had time to do this when, you know, his wife was headed to the hospital, you know, all that was going on in his life. But at some point in time, he put all these numbers together, and I looked at this, and I analyzed every little bit because I love numbers, right? And I he even had a little pie chart here. I'm like, wow, the stats from last year and the whole nine. I mean, I'm like, way to go, Pastor Jeff. He's a good man. And numbers matter. And here's the reason why numbers matter. And when you hear things like, we had 53 new families here yesterday and 254 new visitors. That's awesome. You know why? Because every number represents a person. That's why it matters. Because people matter. And therefore the numbers matter. And so we can't afford to just like the crowd and not the individual. It's the people that matter. And it's God's will for the church to grow. And with that, we're not just, when we talk about growing churches, we're not trying to just grow a church per se. We're trying to grow people, is what this is all about. And you are the church, right? The people are the church. I used to think that the church was a building. And somewhere along the line, I woke up to the fact, God showed me that the church isn't a building, it's the people that are part, because people matter, souls matter. It's not God's will that any should perish. In fact, he loved people so much that God sent his only son to die on a cross, to save us from sin, and to redeem us, right? People matter, and it's God's will for our church to grow. Growth is essential as long as heaven and hell are realities. I believe it's his will for us to grow. Do you believe that? The second thing I would just say to you tonight, my growth potential is different from yours. All of us have different growth potential. So you're familiar with the parable of the talents, where God gave a person one talent, he gave somebody else two talents, and then he gave somebody else five talents. You remember those guys? And two of them invested and one of them didn't. But some of the point from that parable, he's given us different potential, he's given us different talents, he's given us, but all of you have grace, you have abilities that God has gifted you with. You all have gifts, and our potential is different. This church's growth potential is different than maybe some of the other churches around, or whatever. But and so I guess part of what I'm saying is we need to be careful that we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. We're not competing with any other church down the road. We're just trying to do what God has accomplished. God wants Faith Community Chapel to accomplish. In fact, 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul writes there, and he says, those that compare themselves among themselves are unwise. Teddy Roosevelt, he said, comparison is the thief of joy. Don't look around at what everybody else is doing and say, I can't do that, and I can't be like that person. I just would never be able to do what so-and-so does. And so then you just sit in a corner and you do nothing. Because that's what happens when we start to compare ourselves. We get really discouraged. Because I look at other people, I'm like, man, I can't be like that person. I'll just sit off to the side and not do anything. Listen, don't do that. Don't start comparing yourselves. Our growth potential is all different, but God has gifted each of us, and he has a unique set of gifts in this church to be able to build his kingdom. And so all we need to do is stay in our lane and do the work that God has asked us and use the gifts he's given us and invest in the kingdom, right? Third thing I would say is this. I like this one. I can get better. I can get better. Anybody, does that encourage anybody? We're in the midst of trying to settle into a home, and some of my biggest frustrations in life has been trying to hang curtains and blinds and mirrors and other decorative pieces on the walls, you know. And some of the reason why it's so frustrating to me is because I want perfection. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes, there's some other perfectionists in the crowd. And I can't stand it when I do it wrong. And so I don't like to put two holes in the wall when there should only be one, you know? Or maybe four or five holes in the wall when there should only be one. But yesterday, I hung a mirror above the fireplace in our living room. And I worked for, I don't know, for a half an hour or something. I measured everything. You got to figure out where the hooks are on the back and how far from the ceiling you are versus, well, you got to get in the center there, the center with the mantle and all the 9 yards. And I finally hung it, and I was so grateful that the nails matched up with the little hanger things on the back of the mirror. That was good. And then I stepped back, and I'm like, well, it kind of looks centered. And then the acid test is, honey, can you come look at this? And you know what my wife said? It was music to my ears. She looked at it and she smiled and she said, it's perfect. I said, that's my favorite word in the English language. We all want perfection, right? Guess what? None of us are perfect. We all have room for growth, and that's okay. But guess what? We can all get better. And somewhere along the way, I've quit trying to just reach perfection, and I've just started to look at, you know, what's my next step that God has for me? Let's just take that step, and let's just keep climbing the ladder. Let's just keep running the race. I'm not going to worry if I'm perfect or not, because I know I'm not perfect. But we can get better. So someone said this, the only way to be ready for tomorrow is to grow today. We've got to grow today. That's why Pastor Heath this morning, he's talking about being people of the book and living biblically. We got to get into the Word of God. We got to grow and let this book be like a mirror for us, that as we read God's Word, you know what this will do for you? You read this and you find out the truth about yourself. One of the greatest gifts any of us can have is self-awareness, to actually know the truth about our motives and our intents and the things that are really going on the inside. And guess what? Sometimes God gives me insight as to who I am, and I look in the mirror of God's Word and I don't like what I see, because God has more work to do on me. He's continuing to conform us to the image of His Son, and we're continuing to grow in Him, right? And that's a good thing. I mean, even as Pastor Heath preached this morning, he talked about the king who they finally found the scroll and were reading the Word, and the king ripped his clothes out of grief because they looked into the mirror of God's Word and they realized they were not measuring up at all. And it caused grief. But then what did that king do? He took steps to get in line with the Word. Listen, God's ways are the best ways. And we can get better as we read God's Word, as we take time in prayer with Him, and God has more for us. Now, Truett Cathy, does anybody know who that is? the founder of what restaurant? One of the greatest restaurants going, wouldn't you agree? And so Truett Cathy, he said this, if we get better, our customers will demand that we get bigger. If we get better, our customers will demand that we get bigger. I would just say to us, so as individuals, we can get better, but as a church, we can get better. And our focus needs to be on getting better, not necessarily on getting bigger. You hear the difference? And so I haven't been here for very long yet. I don't know what our next steps are here at Faith Chapel, but guess what? I'm guessing this guy over here in the third row knows what some of our next steps are, and we're going to follow his lead. Amen? But we've got room for growth, and God wants us to grow. Our growth potential is not all the same, and we can get better. Isn't that good news? And all of us have a role in the planting and the watering process. Now, let me tell you something very profound. Are there any farmers in the crowd? Is there anybody who likes to grow a garden? Yeah, okay, some hands there, yes. Here's something that's very profound that these who like to do some gardening, they know that this is true. If you don't put something in the ground, there ain't nothing going to grow. Isn't that profound? And did you know that if, in the sense when we're talking about investing in the kingdom of God, if you don't invest anything, if you don't put anything in the ground, because the Bible talks about sowing seeds, if we don't invest anything, God ain't going to grow anything. Not through you, at least. Right? And so we can get better. There's work for us to do. But God has a vision. Let me tell you what I think God's vision is. Those were just three little nuggets. That was just introductory. But I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. God has a vision. I think he wants us just to get on board with what he's doing. D.L. Moody said this, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that really doesn't matter. I'm not interested in being involved in something that doesn't matter and spinning our wheels. I'm not married to any system of church work. What I'm married to, what I believe in, is the vision of God. And so, you know, typically all of us come from different backgrounds, and we probably all have an idea of the way church should be run and how the system should work. I would just submit to you, may we not be married to a system. May we be married to the vision of God. Here's the vision. Are you ready for it? Lost people need to be saved. That's at the heart of it. Lost people, I'll go through the whole thing. Saved people need to be nurtured. Nurtured people need to be trained and discipled. Discipled and trained people need to be mobilized. There it is. I believe this is the vision for the church. Lost people need to be saved. At the very heart of what Jesus did when he came, he said, the Son of Man, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that not the heart of Jesus? And as I look at the character of God, what I find is that God is others oriented. If anybody deserves to be, if we could say self-serving or even proud or boastful, or if anybody deserves that, is God. He's perfect. And yet you look at the character of God and you don't find him being self-serving. You don't find him being boastful or arrogant and. But he's others-oriented. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's what Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he reveals to us the heart of the Father. Read the life of Jesus in the Gospels. What was Jesus' life all about? It was about going to those that were down and out. You look at Jesus, he would run to the messes of people. The people who were unlovely, who had nothing to offer, he'd go to that leper that was an outcast of society, and he'd go lay his hand on him. Nobody else would touch a leper, but Jesus would. He'd go and he'd touch that person and pray and bring grace into their lives. I mean, all over, you look through the Gospels and you follow Jesus, he ran to the messes because he cared about people. He cared about individuals. You know what the heart of Christ is? It's all about people. And you know what the heart of the body of Christ should be? The same thing. All about lost people matter. And you know what happens when we get involved with lost people in their lives? It gets messy. But we're not about, our church is not about us. Our church is always, we're to be others oriented. Here's a quote. Pastor Heath mentioned Walt Disney this morning, Disney World. So let me give you a quote from Walt Disney. Walt said this about Disney World and all that he had built, which was quite a fantastic thing that Walt Disney did, really, with all his vision, all that he did. But he said this: "We did not build this for ourselves. We built it for others. We did not build this for ourselves. We built it for others." Now, Walt Disney's not a spiritual place, all right? In fact, some of the things Disney's teaching today, I would strongly disagree with. they're starting to push the homosexual agenda and some things that I believe are not biblical. So I'm not promoting. But this little phrase right here, I believe what Walt Disney said ought to be the motto of the church. We didn't build this for ourselves. We built this for others. This is what I believe God's vision is for. Lost people need to get saved. This isn't for us. This is for others. We need to be others-oriented just like God is others-oriented. You can say amen. I'm preaching about 95% better than what you're responding right now. Because lost people matter. This is the heart of God. It's the gospel. This is why I believe Sunday morning is vital. Our worship times together, they've got to be life-giving. We want to be ministers of the gospel. When we come here on a Sunday morning, we come and we express our worship to the triune God, right? We don't come just to fill a pew, right? None of us do that. We come here on purpose because we want to express worship to God, and we need the presence and the power of God. And guess what God says? He inhabits the praises of his people. And you know what? When lost people come to a church, if it's dead and dry, I can pretty much promise you they're not likely to be drawn to God. But if they walk into a church that where there's life, where the presence of God is in the midst, they will be drawn to him. As we lift up Jesus, as we lift him up and make much of him, people will be drawn to him. Sunday morning worship is vital. If we don't get Sundays right, we might as well fold it up and quit. Lost people matter. This is why we invite the unchurched here. And listen, you might disagree with me on this, but I believe that our worship services ought to be a place where both unchurched and churched people will love to attend. Anybody want to throw stones at me right now? I'm a mater. You can throw maters at me. I had a professor in college. He told me, I think your parents should have named you Tom. Be Tom Mater. Okay, anyway. Our worship services, we're not trying to make unchurched people feel uncomfortable, right? Now, in the sense that when they're confronted with sin, when the Spirit of God does his work and they realize that there's sin there and there's conviction, well, that might make them uncomfortable. That's okay. That's not a bad uncomfortableness. But in the sense, they ought to be able to come here and enjoy being here. We ought to be able to make people feel welcome. Just like it was a guest coming into your home that you'd make them feel welcome, that's how we ought to be as a church. This isn't for us. This is for others. Right? Because lost people matter. This is why you do Journey to Bethlehem. Lost people matter. This is why you do a Family Fun Day. Because lost people matter. It's all about trying to cast the net. Saved people need to be nurtured. You could also say saved people need to be pastored. I didn't use that word because then you think that it's John, Jeff, and I's duty to do it all. But saved people need to be nurtured, shepherded, pastored. They need to find freedom in Christ. And so somebody comes to Christ and they call on the name of Jesus and they say, Jesus, would you save me? And Jesus wonderfully saves them from sin. But guess what? There's some nurturing that needs to take place. There's people, you know, you realize that there's people that don't have a clue how to use this book at all. And they see all the, you know, we just, if you've grown up in church, you know, we talk, you know, I read off the scripture tonight, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and they don't have a clue where to even start. And then when they see the reference, they're like, what's that little colon for in between these, you know, and when you explain, well, that the first number is the chapter and the second number is the verse, and they're like, wow, that really makes sense. You know, we got to start from the basics. Don't expect that everybody knows what you know. I mean, I was fortunate to grow up in church, but when I've worked and talked with people that are unchurched, and I realize, wow, they don't have the benefit of Sunday school, and they don't have the benefit of knowing the Bible stories that I grew up hearing, and so nurturing needs to take place. And we don't throw stones at them because you don't know that. You don't make them. No. You say, hey, let me help you. Let me come alongside of you. Let me pastor you. You might not say those words, but they need to be nurtured. They need to be loved. We all need to be known. That's why I believe in the effort of what Faith Community Chapel is doing with small groups. I know small groups can be a bad word in some places. I've even heard some preachers preach against small groups. Like they cast stones. You know the whole purpose behind small groups? It's to find community and build relationships and to be known. I don't believe God's purpose was ever for us just to come down to an altar of prayer and pray a sinner's prayer and then, okay, you've got the Bible and you've got the Holy Spirit, now just go off by yourself somewhere and you'll be okay. Read this book. He wants to connect us to a body of believers. Relationships matter. We need each other, friends. We do. We don't really need more information. In fact, I think we're obese on information. We have more information at our fingertips today than any other time in history. And information is good, but we don't need more of what we need is relationships. We need a place where we can take off the mask and where we can find freedom in our lives. And that comes with a community of believers. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore confess your faults or your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be what? Healed. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that healing comes as we confess our faults, our sins to one another? That's where healing comes from. We need each other. That's why small groups is going, and why we're September, that's going to get rolling again. And so sign up for small groups if you haven't already, because we need each other. We're trying to build community, find freedom, and be nurtured and be known, right? Nurtured people need to be trained. They need to be discipled. That's the third thing. And so all of us, I mentioned, we all have gifts. You all have talents that God has given you. And find, do you know your purpose? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? I'll just confess to you, I've pastored for 12 years, and I would say this is probably one of the areas I was the weakest on, was helping people really find their purpose and find where they fit in the kingdom. But this is a vital ministry of the church. In fact, I believe that maybe when it comes to ministers, this would be the main function that ministers have, is to equip the church to do ministry. You have purpose. I watched yesterday at Family Fun Day how you guys are awesome. You all plug in together and you all have a little distinct role that you play, and so some of you are serving hot dogs and somebody else is serving lemonade and water, and I was thankful for those people so much. I'll tell you, I needed a lot of water yesterday and lemonade. It was hot, but and then somebody else is got the little train going. My kids were so excited, they wanted to ride that train when I pulled in here one night in the week, and they saw that train out there and they're like, oh, we got to ride that thing. I was like, Saturday's coming. They were counting the days down to Family Fun Day. My kids were. They couldn't wait to ride that train. Somebody put that together, and then somebody had to fix all the tires that blew as the day went along and keep the train functioning, right? Somebody else was building the dunk tank, and somebody else had to man the dunk tank. And I mean, the list goes on. You have gifts and abilities, and I think it's a beautiful thing. I haven't even got to experience Journey to Bethlehem to watch. I mean, I was here last year for like a day or so, and I got to see a little bit of it. Working together, man, God, I mean, the possibilities are awesome as we just do our part and work together. You find your purpose. You use your gifts that God's given you. And it's a beautiful thing. But there's training. There's discipleship that has to happen. This is why membership classes are important. And I know there's, I think it's a couple times a year that, or something like that. I'm still getting acclimated. I'm looking for Pastor Heath for approval. I think there's membership classes that happen. Membership's important. You need to plug in here. You need accountability and to be discipled. And so join up. Jump in. Both feet. Join the church. I was waiting for that. Bible colleges are important, but I don't believe Bible colleges should be the only ones that are training and discipling. The local church needs to be, but by all means, young people, go to Bible college, because you need to be trained and discipled. And God's Bible School sure helped me, and Union Bible College is helping Trey, and I know we could. I don't know how where everybody went to school, but I'm sure you all, you know, Hope Sound and Penview and Allegheny. I mean, there's, God's kingdom is great. Kid at youth camp this last, a couple weeks ago, after one of the groups got done singing, he said, "So, President Mader, what's your take on the Bible colleges thing? Which one do you, who do you support?" I was like, man, I support all of them, right? It's all about the kingdom of God. But we need to train and disciple. And then the last thing that I believe we need to do is we need to send. We need to mobilize, and we need to send. We best not be greedy. By the way, Pastor Heath mentioned this mentoring group he's involved in. That's part of the, that Pastor Heath has this, I'm not preaching anything that he's not already thinking about. This training, discipling is so important. But listen, some of these guys that he's been working with, we're not going to be greedy and say, well, you know what, we've trained them, so we're going to keep them. We're going to build our kingdom here. You know what? God may just want them somewhere else, and that's okay. We're going to send. And I think that's the most beautiful thing ever, that we can, lost people can be saved, that they can be nurtured, that they can be trained, and they can be sent, and that the kingdom of God can continue to go forward. I believe that is the vision that God has for his church. We preach. Did you know the foolishness of preaching is what the Bible says? It's one of the main methods he uses to get the gospel. Lost people need to be saved. How many ways can I say this, right? Lost people need to be saved. We preach. They need to know God. That happens through the preaching of the word. Sunday morning matters. Saved people need to be nurtured. Fellowship times matter. Potluck dinners matter. Small groups matter. You need to be known. You need to find freedom. If you're struggling with some area of life, some area of sin, you need to talk to somebody about it and get help, because healing comes with confession. All right? You find freedom. We need to be discipled. We need to train people. Pastored people need to be trained. And then we mobilize and we send. Are you seeing it? This is what we're doing at Faith Community Chapel. This is what we're all about. And it's all for the glory of God. It's all for his kingdom's sake. I'll just say it again. We're not here to build our own kingdom. This isn't about any of us. This is all for Jesus. And you know what the heart of God is? Again, I'll say it, just in case you didn't get it the first time. He's others-oriented. And so let's invest our lives in the kingdom of God. Let's invest in other people. Let's get better ourselves. We can't help anybody if we're not connected to God. If we're not in this book, if we're not praying, we're not going to help anybody. We got to give people Jesus. Jesus is still in the business of transforming lives. And I believe he wants to use this church to build his kingdom. Will you stand with me? Jesus is the hope of the world. But may I just remind you that the church is the body of Christ. And so you could also say the local church mobilized is the hope of the world. Jesus chooses to use his church. We're the hands and feet of Christ. And I'm just here to tell you, he wants to use you. If you're like me and you look in the mirror sometimes and you don't like what you see, and you see all of your deficiencies, you see all the things that you can't do well, you see all the things you're inadequate about, I just want to tell you, God has so much for you, all right? You are somebody. He has purpose for you. And so cast away all those doubtful things, all the stuff that you don't like about yourself, and just plug into what God has for you. He wants to use you for his kingdom's sake. And he wants to use this church. I believe it with all my heart. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the church. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood on the cross for our sins, that you paid the price for our sin. And we thank you that you rose again the third day, and that you offer life and hope and freedom to anybody who will believe in you. Lord, we thank you for that truth. And I thank you for every person here that's experienced that tonight. But Lord, I just pray, would you enable us as a church, enable us to be workers in your vineyard, in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray, would you help us here at Faith Chapel? May lost people be saved. May saved people be nurtured. May nurtured people be trained, and trained people be mobilized. And may we just keep that model, and may we do it and then repeat it and repeat it again. And Lord, may your kingdom grow in advance. I pray especially for Pastor Heath as he leads. Lord, would you lead him, give him wisdom, give him discernment. And Lord, I pray, would you just enable him to be able to lead us in your direction and empower him, God. But Lord, for every one of us that are part of the church, we've all got a role to play. I pray, would you help us to find our purpose and to plug in. We thank you for the fulfillment that comes in doing your will and in doing your work. We'll just praise you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention tonight. I'll let you go.